And today is going to be kind of an overview Sunday. And then we will start with some specific, I don't know if you want to call them strategies, biblical principles. We'll start with those next week. But I want to kind of give you a big picture today. And every week you're going to kind of get this rundown at the beginning before we jump right into some of the message. And so if you'll be patient, kind of hang there with me. I do want to share some things with you to help us as we try to work through this process together. I really think we have some stuff that can encourage and help people. Most of all, we have the gospel, and that's what we're going to focus on today. But let's start off. I want to read to you from Proverbs, and we'll come to Ephesians. We'll spend most of our time in Ephesians 2 today, but I want to start off with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And probably many of you have memorized this since you were a child. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. And I've been doing Proverbs in my devotions even lately. It's been really good. And just crossed over this passage just a few days ago. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning verse 5. The word of God says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." The whole idea of this passage is that we have to depend and lean upon the Lord. So every week, what I want to do is I'm going to give you like a stuck profile. In other words, an idea of what it feels like to be stuck. We had some fun with this a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and we discussed some different kind of situations where people might feel stuck. Today we're going to kind of hit a really broad spectrum later on, so I'm not going to hit just one today, but every week after this, I'm going to give you one picture of what a person that is stuck may feel like. Now, some weeks, probably most weeks, this profile won't look exactly like you, but I bet you that one of the weeks, it really will. Like, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I've been there. But what I want you to think about is as you hear about these things, as you will think of people in your life that may be in this the particular specific type of situation. And what I found out, and we'll talk about this a little more later, is that it's interesting when we look at all these different kind of people, whether it's a mom who's stuck or a wife who's stuck in a marriage or a husband who feels like he's stuck, someone stuck in a dead-end job, someone who's financially stuck. What's really interesting is all of the answers to get out of the situation are the same. I think that's what you're going to find out as we look through this, okay? Now, I want to encourage you, and I'm trying to encourage you each week. What I'm going to try to do is share a blog, a post every week. So this week I put out a blog post about managing and finding your way through grief. And I wanted you guys, I know that in our church we've been through some grief and we're still working through that this year. And by the way, if you are working through grief, you're not stuck. Okay, are you following what I'm saying? It takes a long time to grieve over a loss, especially a hard loss. And so that doesn't mean that you're stuck. But I wanted to share with some people who can get stuck in grief and they can never seem to get out of it. And so I shared out this through Facebook and I put it on the website. And so what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to do a different post. I've got one I'm going to do on depression. Anybody know anybody that's been through depression? I'm going to do one on physical abuse. I'm going to do one on prescription drugs. I'm going to do one on pornography. And so these are the kind of things, and I'll just do one each week. And each week I'm going to highlight this with you, all right? And how you can encourage each other is if you happen to be online and you see this, then share it out with some other people, especially if it's something that you think would be encouraging to someone, all right? And so I think you're going to find that each week that some of the weeks are going to probably really hit home, and I hope that they do. I think the Lord is leading in this. Now, our messages won't be on those specific things. Like, I won't have a message on pornography or a message on prescription drugs kind of thing. But those things are going to kind of be, you're going to see the principles that we talk about on Sunday, how they flow through these things. So I want you to see that. Also, you guys, we've got these books, okay? So we have 20 of Healing is a Choice, and we got 20 of these Life Recovery Bibles. Now, on Wednesday nights, if anybody wants to come on Wednesday nights, we're going to be going through this book, okay? And if you want, you can feel free to grab a book, and we're going to work through this. I think this is going to be really powerful. We're going to do 10 things that help you, 10 truths that help you to find your way through healing. And then along with those 10 things, there's 10 lies that people believe. That's Stephen Arterburn. And so we're going to do that. If you know somebody that would benefit from a Life Recovery Bible, feel free to take one and give that to that person. That's what they're for, okay? And so I think these are really going to be also helpful to people that need a good Bible, especially people that are going through like a situation where they feel stuck. So I want you to be aware of that. Another thing I think is really important, and I kind of shared this, I think, a little bit last week. What we want to be to people is we're not going to be their doctor or their psychiatrist or their psychologist. We're going to be their family. Does that make sense? Okay. So as people come in, we want to love them. We want them to know the truth of the gospel because that's the catalyst that launches everything out. But I'm probably not going to be skilled in helping certain types of depression or certain types of abuse. But I found some people who are perfect for this. And so what we're sharing out now is this thing called New Life, okay? And so you guys probably have this in your bulletin as well. And feel free to take this, take your bulletin with you, and you can share that out too a little bit. But it's right there on the bottom. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can just go to newlife.com, okay? And what they will do, like if you were having a problem, let's say you were having a problem with prescription drugs, and you're like, I can't seem to get past it. What can I do? Well, if you'll call that number right there, they will actually find a counselor in Indy who deals with that specific type of thing and help you through that process, okay? I think that is so cool, because obviously we don't have the resources to help all these different kinds of problems. But if people are needing divorce care, or they're needing grief care, they're needing marriage counseling, or they're going through depression, those kind of things, this is where we can actually encourage people and give them a place to take action to find some help. Now, what I believe is the gospel is going to be the catalyst for that change. But these type of people can help them through that process. They can find a Christian counselor that will help them walk through all that, all right? And so we're going to be sharing that a lot over the next 2 months so that people are aware about those things. Now, I'm really excited because Dennis called me last week, and Dennis Brooks is going to be with us on the 31st of January. If you can be here at all, you want to be here that day. If you can invite people, and they're like, well, what day should I really come? I can only come 1 or 2 days. Try to get them come the 31st of January. Dennis didn't have a father when he grew up, and he was in Vietnam, came back, went through some really hard times. And he found the Lord, and his life has been, you know, whenever Saul became Paul, you know that? That's what I think about when I hear Dennis's story. It is that powerful. So Dennis is going to come with us on that Sunday, and he's going to share his story of life change. If you can bring someone then, if you can be here then, don't miss that last Sunday, okay? And then again, we talked about on Wednesdays, we're going to be working through Healing is a Choice, all right? So all of that, I know that's a lot of upfront stuff, but I want people to be aware of what we have going on and what's available to them, and we want to make sure that people know where these options are. Now, every week, no matter what we're talking about, we want to make sure that the gospel is the focus of the message. Are you with me? Right? We're here because Jesus died and rose again, right? That's what the church is about. That's what our hope is. That's what our message is. And you're going to see today, that's the really the biggest part of content of the message is today. Well, each week, I want to point out a truth about the gospel that applies to that particular principle that we're going to look at. Today is really simple. This week, the gospel reminds us that we cannot just try harder. We cannot help ourselves. We are dead without Christ. You ever just tried harder? This New Year's resolutions, right? Don't raise your hands. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? How many in the past have failed at a New Year's resolution? You don't have to raise your hands either, but hey, one time I did push-ups all the way into March. That's pretty good, right? That was impressive. Then I quit, okay? You can tell yourself, and a lot of people do this in church. They come, they sit down, they hear a message, and they're like, I'll just be better. I'll just work harder. I'll just do more. And what I'm here to tell you today is that doesn't cut it. And that's why we've got this, everywhere we put all this stuff out, is stop trying harder. It's going to take work to get things where they need to be. I'm not saying that. But it's not just enough to say, I'll just try a little harder. That doesn't work. There's your message today. Just trying harder doesn't work. So what does? The gospel. The gospel will bring about the change that we need. And that's our message today. Well, what brought me here? I kind of wanted to get you guys thinking today about all this stuff and why I've really identified with this idea. Last, I don't know, probably this summer, and maybe for the past year, I've been listening to a program on the radio from this New Life where all these Christian counselors, they have a radio call-in. It's kind of like Dr. Phil meets a Christian counselor, all right? Most of you are like, oh, brother, right? But people that like to help people, that's really interesting, what they have call in. So I have all these different people call in, and these people have all kinds of problems. So they'll call in about alcoholism, drug abuse, they have sexual integrity issues, lots of broken relationships, some about domestic violence. They call in with all these different problems, and usually there's three counselors work together, and they try to help them work through and get started through where they need to go with some of these issues. Well, I kept listening to this stuff over and over and over again, and I started to kind of click. Wait a minute. This is like, there's a lot of the same principles that are the answer, no matter what the problem is. I started to tie that up, and I realized that that's where the gospel speaks in. Like, you might need a specific medicine for a specific joint ache, right? You might need a specific medicine for a specific type of depression or emotional pain. But what's interesting is that there's so many of these solutions that were the same no matter if you were having sexual integrity issues or you were addicted to prescription drugs. It was like the same solution. And so as I began to work through that and pray about that, and that's kind of how we put together what we're going to go through for the next few weeks. And so that's what we're going to work for the next 2 months, is that these biblical strategies, the gospel is transformative and life-changing. And what I want you to see, and I hope you'll see, is that the power of the gospel can begin the healing work that we desperately need, whether we've never been a Christian or we've been one for a long time. See, this is what Christians do, is we like to take the gospel to get saved. That's the term we use around here, right? Baptists, we say get saved. And then once we've taken the gospel to get saved, then after that, what do? Now I got this. I'm going to take care of it all myself, right? And the truth is, you need the gospel more now than the day that you came to Christ. And that's a big part of the message today. You need the gospel. And I'm looking at a ton of Christians sitting in this room here today. You need the gospel today. So what does it mean to be stuck? I want to bring up this picture again just because I love this picture. Isn't that great? Ever felt like that? I got nowhere to go. I can't do anything about my situation. I'm in a mess. Right? I want to kind of give you a definition, a possible definition for what it means to be stuck, okay? In my mind, as I lay it out for the next couple months for us to think about, being stuck is doing or enduring the same thing over and over, hoping something will change, but never realizing the changes that will effectively bring healing. You been there before? I don't want to get too personal, but I feel like my marriage is fairly good. I love my wife. She seems to love me, okay? But sometimes people in marriages get stuck. Well, this is what we do. This is how we do it. We just go about it. No, it's not really what I'd like for it to be, but hey, what's going to, you know? And then some people get to the place where they're like, well, I just hope it will be better, right? Like my kid's getting in lots of trouble at school, and so, well, I just hope that will be better. If you don't bring out any consequences or any change, is anything going to change? That's what I want you to think about today. Are you doing something over and over and over again, hoping that something might change, but not really seeking out what would effectively make the change that you need in your life? That's stuck. Come on now, you've been there, right? Some of us have been stuck financially. We keep making the same mistakes, the same bad habits, and we wonder why am I still in this mess? Some of us get stuck with lust, and we still watch the same shows, look at the same magazines, and read the same books, and we wonder why we can't find a way out of that situation. Hello? You know what I'm talking about? Okay? So I want you to think about this. If we want to get out of this situation, we need help, and we need help from the outside. And that's the big point of the message today. Well, today, again, some things maybe that you're stuck in. Maybe you're stuck in a dead-end marriage, or it feels like that. Maybe you're stuck in a dead-end job. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you get a job, and it's not really what you want. It's not your passion, but it pays the bills. And then you kind of get a little further along, you get a raise or two, and then you're like, I can't leave this because there's no way I can get something else that would pay like this, but I don't even like this at all. And here I am. I'm stuck. Yeah? The Lord can help you with that if you have faith to do it. Anybody ever been in a cycle of addiction? And maybe it's been drugs. Maybe it's been prescription drugs. Maybe it's been pornography. Maybe it's been food. Maybe it's been alcohol. Even social media can be an addiction. We looked at this fall at a computer conference I went to. I thought it was so crazy that they had a addiction counselor talking about the effects of social media on teens and its addictive properties. Anybody ever seen teenagers that can't let go of their phone? Take Isaiah and Zach and Casey's phone away them for about 3 hours and see how they're doing. Right? They may not want to admit it, but it can be that way. And not just them, right? How about some of us adults? Hello? Where's your phone at? I know right where it is. If your phone's not in your pocket, do you feel like you're lost and you're not going to be able to make it through the rest of the day? You can get stuck to technology, to social media, right? How about you today? Are you stuck there? Or maybe you're financially stuck. I don't know. The thing is, at the bottom of some of these things are just symptoms. And people actually try to go and do these things because they're trying to heal a hurt that's deep down. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? The person that is doing the drugs and is hooked on the heroin, it's not really the heroin that's the problem. The problem is there's a big hole in their heart and a big hurt, and so they were looking for something to escape or to heal that hole. Are you with me? Believe this or not, ladies, a lot of times the problem with pornography is not the pornography itself. It's not just that a man has a desire to look at a woman. It's that there's a hole in that man's heart. So he goes out to try to ease that pain and that hurt, and that's where he goes. The problem, these problems, the fix is not just fixing those specific things. The fix is deeper than that. It's that hurt that's causing these people to reach out. Some people do this with money, by the way. Do you know that? Some people go and spend to try to make them feel better. Some people, we go and eat. I'm kind of that person sometimes. Like if I'm really stressed, I can go reach in and I'll just start stuffing stuff down to try to calm my nerves down. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But what's the problem is not the eating. The problem is that hurt or that stress. That's what I need to deal with. Everybody follow me? I think you are. When we find ourselves in these situations, oftentimes we tell ourselves these things, right? I'll just try a little harder. Hey, it's New Year's, right? New Year's, kid. I'll just try a little harder today. This week, I will try to be better at doing my exercises. This week, I'll be better at trying to have my prayer time. This week, I'll be better at reading my Bible. This week, I'll be better with my finances. I'll even start out with a budget. Anybody been there? I know you are because you're all like smiling and laughing. You're like, yep, I get this, right? Here's what the preacher's telling you today. That don't work. You're not going to try yourself a little harder out of heroin. You're not going to try yourself a little harder out of pornography. You need the gospel. I'll be a better mom. I'll be a better wife. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better friend. I'll be a better daughter. I'll be a better son. I'll be better. I'll just be better. And you end up in the same spot, don't you? You're stuck. I'll just do this more. This is where our Christianese, we get this on real good, right? I'll just pray more. Well, I hope you pray. That's good. I hope you pray more. That'd be really good. But just saying you're going to do that isn't going to make it happen. I'll just read my Bible more. I'll just go to church more. I'll just give more. I'll just witness more. Put whatever you want in the blank. I'll just do this more. It doesn't work without the gospel, and that's where I want to get you today. Well, what if we work smarter and not harder? You've heard that before, right? Had a good friend over in Salem who was a custodian. And whenever I'd carry chairs and like get 7 or 8 chairs, try to show how tough I was, you know. Of course, now my back's hurting that I'm 44 here, right? And he would always have the nice cart and he'd push the cart around. He goes, Travis, you need to work smarter, not harder. Well, I want to play a little bit with this definition of smarter here today. And what I want to tie it to working smarter is working with the gospel. But let me give you a good thing to think about as we get started here. There was a toothpaste manufacturing company. It was having an issue with its supply lines. Every now and then, a toothpaste tube wouldn't come through in time to get put in the box, and this caused some customers to receive empty boxes. So the company hired a consultant. Guess for how much? $150,000. They needed an expert to tell them how to make sure their boxes weren't empty. The consultant drafted an elaborate addition to the supply chain where the box would be weighed. And then the line was stopped and someone usually manually removed an empty box. This change cost $500,000 to build. For the first few weeks, the system was working fine. Alarm would sound when a package did have enough weight, it came through the line and stopped. And then the guy would remove the box off of the line. Well, a few weeks later, a new person rotated into the position of the box remover. The reports of the empty alarms going off went to zero. Well, this was good because the line wasn't stopping, but the manager was suspicious. When the manager investigated, he found that lazy guy who took over. He got tired of standing up, removing the box, and restarting the line. So he had set up a fan ahead of the weighing station, which blew empty boxes off the line and into a bin. They could have saved $650,000 minus the price of a fan if they had worked smarter. Right? Sometimes the lazy guy wins, right? So today, here's what I want you to think about. When we talk about working smarter, smarter is actually figuring out how to lean into the gospel. Who built you? The Lord. Not only did he build your bones and your tendons and your skin and your fingers and your feet, but who built you emotionally? Who knows where your hurts are and how to heal them? The Lord. Why wouldn't we start there? Why wouldn't we start with the gospel? So smarter is figuring out how to lean into the gospel, how to follow the principles that guide us as we learn to lean upon each other. This is huge, guys. I'm just going to let the secret out of the bag right here from the get-go, okay? You want to find healing in most of the stuff? You know what most all of it involves? It involves transparency and accountability with people who love you and will let you into their life and that you can share your real self with them. And by the way, that's biblical. There's tons. I think there's over 100 one another passages in the New Testament alone. Let me ask you that today. Do you have a friend that you can sit down with, and I'm not talking about somebody you chat with on Facebook, I'm someone you could sit down with face to face, and they can know you for your mess and your hurt, and they'll hear you out? Do you have a friend like that? Over and over, and trust me, I've listened, you can ask my wife, I've listened to probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 of these shows this past year. And over and over and over again, they'll say the same thing. Well, do you have someone that knows you? And usually when you have someone that knows you, that'll walk alongside you, you can beat any of this junk. But when you try to hide it, deny it, and go in isolation, that's when you get into trouble. And that's when it gets so hard. And that's when you just keep telling yourself, I'll just try a little bit harder. We can tell ourselves if we just work a little harder, everything will be okay. But again, usually this is couldn't be further from the truth. Let me make this point clear. I think these two illustrations should really help out. A drowning man with an anvil tied to his waist and thrown into the ocean isn't going to be able to just try a little harder and make his way to the top. Do you see the seriousness of your situation? He's not just going to try a little harder. It's not going to work. Let me give you another one. A woman who has fallen to the bottom of a ravine and has broken both of her legs isn't going to just work a little harder and make her way out. She could say, I'll just try harder. Is she going to get out of the ravine? Is she going to climb the mountain with two broken legs? It ain't going to happen. Are you following what I'm saying? She needs help from the outside. The guy that's drowning, he needs help from the outside. Folks, we need help from the outside, and that is the gospel. We need the Lord. We can tell ourselves over and over, we're just going to try harder, we're just going to be better, we're going to do more. But what we need is Jesus. And that's how you can start moving again. That's how we can get from being unstuck. People stuck like this have to come to the realization, I cannot do this on my own, and here's what I have. Well, welcome to the gospel. Have I got a deal for you? This is amazing. This is so good. You guys know why the gospel is the good news, right? Because you can't earn it, you can't deserve it, you can't make it happen. It's already been paid for, it's already been atoned for, it's already been laid out and wrapped up and given as a gift to you. Hello, welcome to the gospel. Here's help for you to get out of the ravine and to get drug out of the ocean. And whatever your mess is, there is a way out. But the Lord is the one that's going to do it. And you've got to lean in to him. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2. Is that like the longest introduction you've ever been through or what, right? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Here is the situation. First of all, you can kind of see Paul is talking about you, and then he says, we. Paul's been through this. He's been through to understand what it was to go from being dead to Christ to being alive again. You notice there in verse 1, he's like, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You used to live when you followed the ways of the world. But then he starts switching over in verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, and we were by nature deserving of wrath. So Paul says, look, yes, you need help, but also I have been there. And here's the thing, guys. There's been millions of people that have found hope and healing in the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ. It's tried and true. If you will lean in and let the Lord do the work, surrender your heart to him, and then follow what the principles he has for your life, you can find healing. And it's not just been a couple people. It's probably been a billion people by now that have been through this process where the Lord has changed and transformed them. Now, what does Paul say about these people initially? He says they were dead. They were spiritually separated from God due to the sin of Adam. The stuck problem goes back a long way. People have been stuck for a long time, right? I want you to think about this, because people don't grab hold of this. Good people are dead in transgressions and sins. You may have been good, but if you haven't been changed, you're still dead. Does that make sense? Again, this is really hard for people to admit nowadays. Good people are stuck. And I think that's part of the problem. I don't want to admit I'm stuck because I have a reputation. I don't want people to think that I'm a failure, or people to think that I'm in the same cycle of problems I can't get out of. So I'm not going to tell anybody. Because if I tell them, then they'll know my flaws, and then I will really feel horrible about myself. But in reality, you need to find someone that you love and know and knows you and share that with them so you can get out of the mess. So many times we want to hide under some facade. Oh, no, I've got it all together. How much better to say, no, I don't have it together, but the Lord is holding me together. That's where we need to get to. Now, these people that Paul's speaking about, and he was one of them at one time, they've been dealing with trespasses, which is breaking God's law. It's a sin of commission, sin of doing something wrong. And then they've been dealing with just sins, which is missing the mark or the omission. It's not living up to God's expectations. If you will, these people are dead. They're flatlined. You've heard the old phrase, dead men tell no tales. Dead people cannot see or hear or understand. Well, here you go. Listen to this. Dead people don't try to do better or be a better person. Does the guy that's in the casket say, well, I'll just try a little better? It's too late, right? What do they need? Dead people don't try to do better or be a better person. They are in the morgue. I hope you get the point here. If you want to get unstuck, you cannot do it alone. Are you getting it? I'll give it to you 100 different ways so you grab hold of it. You cannot do it alone. There are some people in churches, some people in colleges and universities who have a great intellect, but they miss out on key parts of the scriptures because they are not spiritually alive. They're dead, and they need somebody else to help them. 1 Corinthians 2:14, great passage. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. It doesn't make sense. But we, Paul says, things are different. Well, let's see what else the scriptures quickly say about those who are dead. Again, they're led by the world's way of thinking. And how does this play about? Well, what happens? And this happens to a ton of guys that I met in the jail. They thought the drug would make them feel better. They thought it would heal the hole that was in their heart. Some people thought the food would heal the hole that was in their heart. Some people thought the affair would heal the hole that was in their heart. Does it work? No, that's what the world says. And really, that's what the devil says. That's his lie. And that's what the scripture even says. Paul says they're led by the ruler of the authority in the air. In other words, Satan himself operates in lost people. And Paul says, hey, look, I've been there. We all had this lifestyle at one time. And that's a reminder, everybody needs the gospel. These people were led by the will and the lusts of their own flesh. And when we're stuck, that's what we're doing. We're led by those things instead of being led by the Spirit. You guys have heard this before. I think this is pretty good. There are three ways to get something done. One, do it yourself. Two, hire someone else to do it. And what's number three? Tell your kids, don't do it. They'll get it done, right? What is that within your kids that do that? What is it that within us you say, don't do that, and then they'll go do it? That's sin nature, right? And that's where we need help, beyond ourselves. Again, these people were doing the desires of their flesh and their thoughts. There was no change. Even Paul says they were children of God's wrath by nature, born in sin, born with rebellion toward God in their hearts. Now, let me say this clearly. Let's look at this just briefly. God's wrath will be poured out on sin and sinners. Hello? You're not going to hear that on probably Dr. Phil or Oprah or any self-help thing, are you? The scripture's pretty clear. God's wrath will be poured out on sin and sinners. Paul says this is what we were, but we're not that way anymore because we've been changed. What we need was a resurrection. Dead people don't need medicine. Hello? Dead people don't need seven steps to better whatever, right? It's not going to work. Dead people are desperate for help. They're so desperate they're dead. They need a resurrection. But what does the gospel say? Jesus died, and what did he do 3 days later? He rose again. He can resurrect the dead. Woo, that's good. If you're in a mess and you're stuck and you've got no way out, guess what? You're dead. But I know somebody who can raise the dead because he's proven it. His name is Christ. And he can take a soul that has been unregenerate and rebellious and hard-hearted, and the Spirit of God comes in and that person repents and they trust the Lord for their life, and all of a sudden that heart has a different desire, and this person that was dead to the things of God now is alive to the things of God. And things that they were stuck in and couldn't get out of, now they start making their way out because they have good relationships with other believers who strengthen them as they trust in the Lord and they make their way out of the mess. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the gospel. And Paul begins to say that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Don't you love it today that you have a Lord that intervenes? You have a personal God that cares enough to step inside this mess and bring us out of it? That's the Lord we serve. Paul says, God did that. Look in verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places or heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork. We are his poema. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This amazing truth is that God has intervened. The Lord, in his mercy, the scripture says, he is rich in mercy. Anybody need mercy today? I'll get the front of that line. Is the Lord's handing it out? Man, you don't know what I deserve for my arrogance and my pride and my stubbornness and my laziness. And if the Lord's handing out mercy, I want to be at the front. Here's what I want you to grab hold of today. Our God is a loving God and loves us with a great love. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God is for you, God loves you, and he gave his son for you. Man, how could I say this? You guys, there are so many people right out there who are so broken, and they're so beaten down, and they're so hurting that they don't think this is true anymore. And they need somebody with hands and feet and flesh to come and wrap their arms around them and hold them and talk to them and listen to their story to say, God is for you, God loves you, God gave his only son for you. He's not done with you. Can we be those people? That's the gospel. Let that go out. Let it go out however you want to send it out, whether it's a coworker at work, whether it's a relative or a family or a friend, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's just somebody online that you're corresponding with that you love and know. Make sure they know this truth. Even when we were dead, Paul says, he resurrected us through Christ and has raised us up and given us righteousness, which lets us sit with him in heaven. We are talking about transformation now and glorification in eternity. Change here and now, and then ultimately change forever. And that's why we're preaching about stuck, because I think people can get unstuck if they'll trust in the gospel of the Lord. Why did the Lord do this? Well, to show the riches of his grace and to show his glory for all eternity to come. Now today, here's the thing. This is what Paul says, and you guys are probably so familiar with this passage. We are saved by grace. Everybody with me on that? You're not saved because you wrote out a check in the offering plate. And hang with me here. You're not saved because you got dunked in a baptismal pool. And to be honest with you, this would be hard for some people. You're not saved because you said a sinner's prayer and repeated after someone what they said or filled out a card. You are saved when you give of your life and say, God, take it. When you own your sin and you repent of your sin, and then what happens is the Lord comes in and all of a sudden those changes start to happen. And that's how you know you're saved. Not because you filled out a card, not because you got dunked in a pool, not because you came to church on Sunday or put something in the offering plate. You are saved when there's transformation in your life. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm saying all of a sudden your desires and your hopes are different. And even as a six-year-old boy, that happened to me. Kind of crazy to think. I know Corbin and I were talking about this not too long ago. It's different and difficult sometimes when you're saved as a child because you haven't done all the horrible, terrible things that you hear from those people that have great testimonies. Like they were doing this horrible stuff and they got saved and then they were this great person, right? When you get saved when you're six, hopefully you haven't done too much stuff by then, right? Now, some kids, maybe, I don't know. But in my life, even at that young age, there was a transformation in my desires. And from then on, I was different. And that's how I know. Not because it was written down somewhere, not because I got in a baptistry, though those things are good to do, but because there was change. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough or try hard enough or just be better. Redemption that brings about transformation comes from where? Comes from God. Hello? It's not in a pill. Try and be careful here, because I think pills can be very helpful at the right time in the right place, okay? But transformation we're talking about is not a pill. The catalyst of that is the gospel. That's what's so important, so key here. We have to give up and give in. I love this phrase. Maybe I'm going to see if I'm going to talk to Bob here, hopefully in 2 weeks, see if he can come. You need to man down. We talked about this, I think, sometime this past year, right? What we're taught as young boys over and over again is man up, right? That boy pushed you over there. Well, quit crying, boy. Man up, right? You missed that jumper that would have won the game, and so you're all pouting. Man up, right? That's what sons are taught by their fathers. Just be tough, right? There's some good to that, but it's horrible advice in a spiritual situation. We don't need to man up and say we're stronger, say we got this, we can take care of ourselves. That's what we need spiritually. What we need to do spiritually is get on our knees and say, God, I need help. What did the Pharisees say? Lord, I thank you so much. I'm not like this tax collector over here. He started bragging about how he had it all taken care of and how he had it all together. And what did the tax collector say? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Was he manning up or manning down? He was on his knees. And the God who is rich in mercy transformed that tax collector. One of his names was Zacchaeus, right? Changed his life. Because he had the courage to admit his failure and that he needed God. You want to get unstuck? That's where you want to start. You're going to be doing some work. And again, I'm not trying to say you won't work, because you're going to have to work. Guess what? If you break your ankle, I did that before. I had to go to the crazy physical therapist, and she made fun of me of how much rotation my ankle didn't have at the time. What did I have to do? I had to do work. To get that thing going again, I had to do stretches and exercises and all this stuff. I had to work, right? And spiritually, you're going to have to do some work. And maybe emotionally, you're going to have to do some work. You may need some counseling. You probably do if you're going through some of these really hard things. But the catalyst, the beginning, the foundation, is that you've got to admit to the Lord that I can't do it on my own and that I need you to come and help me do this. Now, what I love in verse 10, Paul writes this. He says, you will be the masterpiece, the poema that God made you to be. God has designed you to do some great things. And some of you here today may be like, you know what, I'm too old for that. I think God's probably done with me. I've lived my life. And I'm telling you, no, he's not. God's not done with you. He created you to be a masterpiece. And that's what verse 10 tells us. And the Lord would have you to become that. Now, there's a few people who tried to do things a little bit harder, and they ended up in some problems. You guys know those stories, right? God made a promise to Abraham, said, I'm going to give you a son. I'll bless you. All nations of the earth will be blessed through you, and I will deliver a son. So Abraham said, yes, Lord, I believe you. And then a few years later, what happened? When he was about 86, It didn't seem to be coming to pass, so Sarah said, you know what, why don't you go help God out a little bit here? Anybody ever try that? In a relationship issue, I'll just try to help God out, right? That's kind of, what is that crazy? I can't even think of it now. The Christian dating service or whatever. Sometimes God wants you to make the first move or something like that, right? Okay. Well, that's the way Abraham and Sarah thought. Well, I guess we need to make this happen. And even our church, we got to be careful about that, right? We can get to a place where we just got to make this happen. No, we don't. We've got to depend upon the Lord. Abraham decided to make it happen, and what happened? What a mess, right? Yeah, because he decided he would make it come to pass. David, one time, the Lord told him, he said, I don't want you taking a census. I want you to trust me. And for the most part, David did pretty good there. And then until one day, he's like, you know, I really like to know how many soldiers I really got. So when we go to battle, I know what I can do here. Huge mistake. How about you today? You trying to make it happen yourself? Are you going to trust the Lord? Man, the Lord is challenging me right there. Okay, let's finish where we started. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Again, Solomon writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The gospel is a reminder that we cannot save ourselves, that we can't just try harder. We need a power beyond ourselves to help us out of our pit. His name is Jesus. Normally, the flight from Nassau to Miami took Walter Wyatt Jr. only 65 minutes. But on December 5th, 1986, he attempted it after thieves had looted the navigational equipment in his beach craft. With only a compass and a handheld radio, Walter flew in disguise, blackened by storm clouds. When his compass began to gyrate, Walter concluded he was headed in the wrong direction, and he flew his plane below the clouds, hoping to spot something, but soon he knew he was lost. He put out a mayday call, which brought a Coast Guard Falcon search plane to lead him to an emergency landing strip only 6 miles away. Suddenly, Wyatt's right engine coughed its last and died, and the fuel tank had run dry. And around 8 p.m., Wyatt could do little more than glide the plane into the water. Well, Wyatt survived the crash, but his plane disappeared quickly, leaving him bobbing on the water in a leaky life vest. With blood on his forehead, Wyatt floated on his back. Suddenly, he felt a hard bump against his body. A shark had found him. Wyatt kicked the intruder and wondered if he would survive the night. He managed to stay afloat for the next 10 hours. And in the morning, Wyatt saw no airplanes, but in the water, a dorsal fin was headed for him. Twisting, he felt the hide of a shark brush against him. In a moment, two more bull sharks sliced through the water toward him. Again, he kicked the sharks, and they veered away, but he was nearing exhaustion. Then he heard the sound of a distant aircraft. When it was within a half a mile, he waved his orange vest. The pilot radioed the Cape York, which was 12 minutes away, "Get moving, Cutter. There's a shark targeting this guy." As the Cape York pulled alongside Wyatt, a Jacob's ladder was dropped over the side, and Wyatt climbed wearily out of the water and onto the ship, where he fell to his knees and he kissed the deck. He'd been saved. Now, think about this. He didn't need encouragement or better techniques. Nothing less than outside intervention could have rescued him from sure death. How much we are like Walter Wyatt. Hearing the Lord talk to you today? If you're going to get unstuck, it's not going to come from you just trying a little more. You need him. That's the point of the message today. I don't care what your mess is. I know there is hope for you if you are here today. Again, I've had the privilege of working with men in jail and prison, and some of the men in prison have found a hope that made them more free than some of the men on the outside. You hear what I'm saying? You probably don't believe that. I've seen them. Because they were transformed from the inside out, they could even live in a prison cell, but their hope was so much greater. They were more free than somebody stuck to drugs or pornography or some addiction on the outside. You can start moving again, but it will begin with a recognition that you need help from the outside. You're not going to find real, true healing until you deal with the gospel, until you decide to reach out to a Savior who shed his blood for you, until you are willing to own your sin and repent and find grace and forgiveness has been waiting for you all this time. Now, for most of you here today, think about this. For those of you who have been born again, but you still find yourself stuck, you've got to run back to the gospel that saved you in the first place. You need to live daily in the truth that you must have the Lord's help, or you'll never find the healing that you need. Christian, are you hearing me? You need the gospel. preacher, you need the gospel today. So what's your decision today? Here's what I want you to think. Are you just going to leave here saying that you'll try a little harder, or you'll just do a little more? Or are you willing today to tell the Lord that you recognize that you can't make it unless he rescues you? Tell him you are willing to own your mistakes and turn your life over to him. That's the point of decision I have for you today. Would you stand this morning? We're just going to take a little time of quiet here this morning. You know your heart condition. And today, if you are feeling strong in the Lord and blessed in him and are growing in your faith, and I'm not trying to dump stuck on you. If you're not stuck, don't feel that way. I don't want you to feel that way. Feel good about yourself and be used of the Lord to grow. But I know that some of you here today might feel like there's a certain part of your life that you just, you're stuck and you know it. You don't know how to get out of it. Today, what I want us to do as we take this quiet time to pray, I want you to ask the Lord to really investigate your heart and to make sure that you have laid before him, that you've owned your sin, and that you're telling him even today, Lord, I'm like the guy in the water with the sharks, and I know I can't just try harder and do a little better, and I'm coming to that understanding. And I need you, Lord. I need you to come and save me out of my mess. And I want to follow your lead, and I need you to come and do that. And then today, if you are a believer and you're not feeling stuck, I want you to be praying for people that you're concerned about. You might know somebody that's in it, the continuing mess, and can't get out of it. And so as we take this time to pray, would you pray for them even this morning? Let's take a moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in prayer.